And one writer that's really been quite beloved by me and so many others is Clive Staples Lewis, C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis never did become a Catholic. I think there's some interesting reasons why. But he believed a lot of Catholic stuff. And of course, he was a convert from atheism to Christianity. And he's written some very, very powerful works, such as Mere Christianity. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Maybe his most overlooked book that he ever wrote was called The Abolition of Man. And next week on the Cale Clark Show, I'm going to be joined by Father Michael Ward, who's written a book about C.S. Lewis's book, a book about a book. And it's all about how this is so relevant to our time today. I think you're really going to enjoy this interview. That's going to happen next week. We'll give you more details on that as we get closer. But one thing I wanted to talk to you guys about is why is it that C.S. Lewis became a Christian in the first place? Why did he leave atheism behind? Well, there's another person who's written a sort of a three-part biography of C.S. Lewis called Harry Lee Poe. And he wrote a little piece about this, how C.S. Lewis came to this slow journey to belief in Jesus. And it had a lot to do with really the reasons why, even though he never really gave his personal testimony, he was asked to do this. The book, Mere Christianity, we could talk about that book a little bit more in more detail later on, but this book, Mere Christianity, which has been read by millions, it's one of my favorites. I read it when I was coming to faith in Jesus. It really did help me a lot. This book was based on broadcast radio talks that he gave on BBC Radio, the last of this four-part series he did in 1944. And it was really successful. It was during World War II times. And the BBC wanted him to come back on. And they kept prodding him, "Can you please do more broadcasts on other subjects?" And he said, "No, nope, not going to do it." He politely declined. "I'm done making radio talks." And he was asked, "Okay, well, how about this?" The BBC said, "If you don't want to do talks on more issues, can you at least give us your personal testimony, your personal journey to faith? Why did you leave atheism behind and embrace Christ?" And he said, "Well, I'm not the sort of person who gives one's personal testimony, and I really don't want to do that because if I did, it would just sound really repetitious." And as Harry Lee Poe explains in his article, in actuality, C.S. Lewis had already shared his personal testimony about how he left atheism and came to Christ, and he actually did it in his radio broadcast. But he never said, "I'm giving my personal journey." Basically, these talks that became the book Mere Christianity, that was his personal journey to faith, but he told it from the third person point of view. He didn't talk about himself. He didn't say, "I struggled with this." And if you read that book and if you listen to those radio talks, I'm sure there's copies of it out there on YouTube somewhere. C.S. Lewis didn't try to create an argument for the existence of God or what kind of God he is, why the incarnation makes sense, why Jesus is God in the flesh. What he did was he talked about, even though he didn't say, "These are my reasons why I came to faith," they were his reasons, how he came to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he didn't sort of take the straw man argument approach where he set up this hypothetical straw man, then easily knocked it down with his brilliant arguments. He didn't really use a debate style. If he were sitting around maybe the Eagle and Child pub in Oxford with J.R.R. Tolkien or some other friends, he might have talked about it this way. Or if he was debating people at Magdalen College, where he taught at Oxford, or if he was on stage at the Socratic Debating Club with somebody else who he was having an argument with, a debate with, a public debate, he probably would have handled it a little bit differently. But in these radio talks, he wasn't combative, he wasn't belligerent, he was very friendly in his approach. And it was almost as if he was telling all the listeners who he considered his friends, "Hey, I've got this problem, and I'm going to try to talk it through with you on the radio, because I know that many people listening have this problem as well." And a lot of what he talked about on the radio, on the BBC, apparently he also dealt with this in his book called The Problem of Pain. And a lot of what's in Mere Christianity, according to Michael Lee Poe, or sorry, Harry Lee Poe, is from the problem of pain, the opening of the problem of pain. And how did C.S. Lewis descend into atheism anyways when he was a young man? Well, it kind of all started with the death of his mother. And when his mother passed away, he questioned God. How could you let this happen? How could you let her die? And I think that's true of a lot of people. They have some tragic event in life. They can't understand why God would allow it. And that's what leads them down a path towards atheism. But once he got there, once C.S. Lewis became an atheist, the one thing that kept gnawing at him, the one thing that he just couldn't reconcile with atheism, was the problem of good and evil. Because he was basically a materialist at this point. And when he was in his early 20s, he really bought into the views of Sigmund Freud. And Freud, of course, taught that God was only a psychological projection. And there's no such thing. This is something that people make up to try to explain things away. And if you're a staunch materialist, if you think that really all that matters is matter, all that exists is matter, only the physical universe, only the physical world is real, well, then there really can't be any good or evil. There really can't be right or wrong. There really can't be true beauty or true ugliness, for that matter. There is only what is. There's no such thing as values. There's no such thing as right and wrong, because right and wrong are not materialistic. They're not made up of material. They're not made up of atoms. And so this was what was on C.S. Lewis's mind after he came back from World War I, the Great War, when he came back to Oxford after serving in World War I. And how did he get from being this young atheist studying at Oxford in the UK to being this incredible apologist defending the faith, explaining the faith on the radio, on the BBC, and later on, of course, in his many books? Well, here's how it all got started. C.S. Lewis started teaching philosophy in the year 1924, and he was basically a substitute teacher for his old philosophy professor. And he said, here's what I'm going to do in the class. I'm going to start a project, and I'm going to try to prove in my lectures how I can have, and how really anybody can have, objective morality and ethics. How can you be an ethical person without having some source of right and wrong outside the physical universe? In other words, I'm going to prove that you can be good without God. That's what C.S. Lewis tried to do. Well, he tried to do it, but he failed. He wasn't able to pull this off. He said it can't be done. All he succeeded in doing, really, was convincing himself that there is something outside of the material universe. It has to be there. And he talked about this in Mere Christianity, in these radio lectures, which became the book. Now, at this point, talking about good and evil, he said, I'm not yet within 100 miles of the God of Christian theology. I'm not even close to Christianity yet, but that's not what I'm talking about right now. I'm just talking about good and evil, right and wrong. Do they exist? And if so, why? You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 1-888-914-9149. If you have a take on any of this, what I'm saying about C.S. Lewis, right and wrong, good and evil, as a clue to the meaning of the universe. Well, once C.S. Lewis realized that something else does exist besides the material universe, this concept of right and wrong, they're real things, he had to figure out, well, what is this? What might this be? Well, it can't be brute matter, so it has to be something spiritual. It would have to be something like a mind, because it has values, and it has to be good, not just powerful. There has to be goodness involved. And so he thought about that, and then he also realized that the values that he thought were really important in life, the ethics that he thought were crucial, there were times that he didn't measure up personally to those ethics, to those values. And he explained this later in his radio talks and in the book, that we know from our own experience that there is a moral law, there is something called right and wrong. We know that it exists, and we also know something else. We don't always keep it. We don't always hold up to our own standards of what we think right and wrong are. Well, in 1942, as part of these radio broadcasts, he explained a little bit further of how he got to this belief in God. Well, he said, okay, I'll admit that there's some sort of mind that's out there that exists. All right, well, how do you get from this sort of impersonal mind that might be the source of good and evil to what we might call a personal God? Well, in 1924, when he first started thinking about this, as he was substitute teaching philosophy, he was sort of looking around with different religions, and he first thought about going for pantheism. And pantheism is kind of this view that God contains both good and evil. So a lot of different forms of Hinduism would postulate this. But then Lewis kind of said, that didn't really work. It doesn't take evil seriously. So we've got to try another approach. And he really didn't want to go the Christian route. He really didn't want to go down that road. So he turned to dualism. He said, pantheism's not going to work, so I'm going to go with dualism. And he once said this. He actually said this in Mere Christianity. And here's a quote from him. I personally think that next to Christianity, dualism is the manliest and most sensible creed on the market. But it has a catch. It has a catch. Well, what's the catch? Well, in a dualist system, the concept is that there are two different gods, two gods who are sort of equal in power, and they're eternally in opposition to one another. This is where Taoism gets this idea of the eternal struggle between evil and good. And they just can't see, neither side can really vanquish the other side. The yin and the yang, they're constantly in opposition. Equal in power, but opposite in nature, good and evil. There's a god of good, and there's a god of evil. I guess you could say this is sort of a Star Wars theology, too. There's the dark side of the Force, and then there's the good side of the Force, and they're kind of fighting against each other. But that's not the Christian view at all. And so the catch in this idea that Lewis recognized, this concept of dualism, why it doesn't really work, that there are equal forces of good and evil opposing each other, he said, well, if they're really equal, if there's a sort of a good god and evil god, well, then there's no reason to call one of them good and the other one evil. How can you say that? How can you say one is good and one's evil if they're equally powerful? Unless there's some separate power or some separate quality that's above both of them that judges between what's good and what's evil. How do you know what's right or what's wrong? Well, that power, that higher power, if you will, would be the real god. That's an interesting thought. So without this ultimate overarching basis for judging between good and evil, they wouldn't be bad or good. They'd just be different. The evil god would say the good god is bad, and the good god would say the evil god is bad. That doesn't make any sense. And so Lewis is like, okay, that's not going to work. There has to be a single good god who is responsible for the moral law and also responsible for letting us become aware of this moral law. There's something that's going on here between this spiritual God and the physical universe. How is it that people in the physical universe can figure out that there is good and evil? So, again, as C.S. Lewis said, we're still a million miles away from believing that this God actually became human, took on flesh, entered into the material world, dwelt among us as Jesus of Nazareth. And so in Mere Christianity, he doesn't talk about that. One of his other books, Surprised by Joy, he does talk about that, where he was when he came to believe that Jesus is actually God the Son. But in Mere Christianity, he just talks about how he figured out the link between, okay, there must be a God, and then how do you get to basic Christianity? So the main point, and this is the argument that everybody remembers from Mere Christianity, is what Jesus said about himself. And when you look at what Jesus said about himself in the Gospels, C.S. Lewis said you're really stuck with only three options. Jesus is either liar, lunatic, or Lord. He's either a lunatic, a crazy person, as C.S. Lewis says, on the same level as the guy who says he's a poached egg. He's nuts. He says he's God, but he's just badly mistaken. He's not all there. Got a few loose screws up there. Or this is really demonic. He's saying, I'm God. The only way to heaven is through me. I and the Father are one. Now, he's saying this and he knows it's not true, in which case it would be demonic. Or it really is true. It really is true. He really is the living Lord. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. So a lot of people in this culture, back then, even today, they want to say, well, Jesus is a good teacher, but I'm not ready to say that he's God. And C.S. Lewis in the book, he says, that's not an option. That's not an option for you. He's either lunatic, liar, or Lord. He's not a good teacher if what he's teaching about himself is not true. If he says that I'm the way to God and he's not, he's either crazy or he's a very bad man, unless it is actually true. And where did he get this idea from, liar, lunatic, or Lord? He actually got it from the Catholic convert G.K. Chesterton. And G.K. Chesterton, he wrote a book called The Everlasting Man in the year 1925. And Chesterton talked about this in that book. And C.S. Lewis read that book, and he just could not get it out of his brain. And that's really what got into what became Mere Christianity. So this is really these talks on the radio in the 1940s on the BBC, which became this book, Mere Christianity, that really was his testimony, how he got to that point, how he got to that point. So I thought that was really fascinating because the power of testimony is really, really important. We've talked a lot about on this program, this idea of sharing your story, and everybody's story matters. What God is doing in your personal life matters, and you can tell that to others. That can encourage them. Side bonus, nobody can say it's not true. God is doing this in my life. This is what's someone going to say to you? Oh no, you're making this up? No, they'll usually listen. If you're talking about what you think are objective facts, you might get an argument, but nobody can really argue with a personal testimony. Well, C.S. Lewis never officially gave one, but he did in his book Mere Christianity. And we can talk a little bit more about that after the break if you want. You can call me 1-888-914-914, and I, we're going to talk after the break about lots of stuff. The Ark of the Covenant, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Did you know that the Ark is actually a piece of furniture? What? I'll explain. Plus, I'm going to tell you why after this, our exile, Mary will show us the fruit of her womb. Jesus, what's our exile? Are we in it right now? More coming up on The Cale Clark Show. Be right back.